Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is CDC Gaming Report's publisher, Jeffrey Compton. Jeffrey will be discussing some current events and will look at a new book he's beginning to write. Jeffrey Compton, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Welcome. Glad to be here again.
We've spoken several times about Sheldon Adelson, billionaire casino mogul and huge Republican donor, taking over the Las Vegas Review-Journal recently. Let's look at this a bit more. Jeffrey, how did this all go down?
Well, part of the problem is the way it went down. Sheldon, I guess, from what I hear, has been interested in buying the Review-Journal for some time. When it sold almost a year ago, he approached the owners. He was one of the bidders. But the owners, Stevens Media, saw problems in him owning the thing, and they did not acknowledge his. They sold it to somebody else. Well, they sold it to, I can't remember the name of the firm, but they're publicly traded. They have investors. So Sheldon just approached, and I don't know if it was Sheldon or Sheldon's family. It could have been just his son-in-law behind this, but approached the new owners with an offer they could not refuse without being fiscally competent. Okay, so they
like
had
10 times its worth or something.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that high, but almost.
Well, the published figures I saw were that it sold a year ago for $100 million and they paid $140 million.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That's a pretty good flip.
And remember, newspapers aren't exactly the most profitable, you know, hot commodity these days. Then what he did is he brought in somebody he knew who published newspapers in Connecticut, weekly newspapers, and had a meeting of the staff called, and at the end of all the business, oh, by the way, you've been sold, you have new owners, and here is Mr. Christopher, and he represents the new owners. Oh, who are the new owners? And the answer was basically, keep your nose clean and don't ask questions, which is not what you say to any group of new employees, particularly a room of reporters. So they took it upon themselves, two or three of them, to find out who the new owners were. And they found out, and it was Sheldon's family. And I think Sheldon totally misjudged how much he is disliked in the newsroom, because one, the idea of part of it is the idea of a billionaire buying a newspaper, though that's not uncommon. Bezos bought the Washington Post, but he was in a lawsuit that was unsuccessful, but it bankrupt the most popular member of the team, John L. Smith.
Yes.
And John is beloved by the staff. He was best man in Howard Stutz's wedding many years ago. So this, I think he just totally misjudged it. And they've brought in, yesterday they sent Mr. Christopher packing, and they brought in somebody new, and they've hired image consultants on it from the Democratic Party. And
The paper has hired
Sheldon hired an image consultant who's primarily worked for the Democratic Party, Clinton.
Wow.
And he focuses on crisis management, how to manage a crisis. And yesterday there was a discussion with somebody else who's new, who they thought was going to be the interim editor, but is not going to be the interim editor, but spent a long time discussing disclosures they have to make on articles. Of course, an article about Sheldon has to have a disclosure on it. What about an article that's negative about a Sheldon competitor? What about an article that's about politics? What about an article that's about Israel? Okay.
Or online gaming.
Or online gaming. Okay. Or marijuana. So
is Sheldon very anti-marijuana?
Yeah, he was the one who bankrolled the opposition to the medical marijuana that failed in Florida.
Oh.
So that somebody who is the other billionaires who have bought newspapers are not known for their passionate beliefs. They just want to be a publisher, or they want to keep this newspaper going, or they want to, you know, maybe increase their presence a little in whatever town they bought it in. But so how it's going to play out, I don't know. He can't go in. You know, everybody says, well, why doesn't he just go in and fire the news staff? Well, if you fire the news staff, you're going to lose a lot of readership. If you lose a lot of readership, you're going to lose a lot of advertising. If you lose a lot of advertising, why did you buy the newspaper to begin with?
Yeah.
Because you'll lose a lot of political. If you have no political force, if nobody's reading you, or if people who are reading you assume that one person is dictating the opinion.
Do you know how much of the readership does the RJ get versus the Sun?
Well, remember, the Sun is part of the RJ now.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
It's an insert in the RJ.
Oh.
So
there's only one newspaper in
town. Only one newspaper. Well, no, the Sun, it does maintain a separate editorial policy. And it has been brought up that the Sun is owned by Brian Greenspan, who did at one time have an interest in a Green Valley Ranch in the Palms. Not a big interest, but an interest. So a casino owning a newspaper is not new. But there's a big difference between a part interest in the Palms and a part interest in Green Valley Ranch and being Sheldon Adelson.
How do you think this is going to affect players?
I think that Sheldon's staff will. One thing about Sheldon or Sheldon's family or whatever, they didn't get to where they are in life by being bullies. So I do think that there will be more coverage of casinos in the staff of Bob, and I can tell you firsthand, many people of the old staff. Most of them are gone, and to tell you the truth, one of them, the main problem, is no longer with us. But we're not pro-casino. They were not pro-gambling. When we introduced a column in that paper 10 years ago, Bob, longer than that.
Yeah, longer ago.
Longer than that. I had to do a real sell job to get them to put – I showed them that every other major newspaper in a gambling town has a gambling column. And, you know, so – They were great. I mean, there was never a problem. There was never take this out. They stood behind us on tough decisions. For example, we made the decision that we will not publicize a paycheck promotion. And several casinos objected, and they stood 100% behind us and said, no, they're not going to do that.
Well, they did veto us once. There was just when the Win was coming out in like May of some year, we were considering an April 1st, so an April Fool's Day column, writing about the new slot club, and we decided to call it the I Believe in Steve Slot Club, but making clear it was an April Fool's joke, they vetoed that.
They vetoed that, and I can understand that because there's been a lot of history of humor taken the wrong way by the general public, and I think they would have done that if it was Steve Wynn or if it was, you know, Joe Blow. So I think you probably will see better coverage of gaming in the casinos, not gaming business, gaming directed to the player. How gaming business is going to go depends on, frankly, how they work it out with the current staff.
All right. Change the subject. You're from Ohio.
So they tell me.
Yeah, well. It's okay. Nobody's perfect. Now, the casinos in Ohio, they're thinking about changing the rules on taxing free play. What's happening over there?
Part of this is that the expected tax revenue of the four casinos is not what it was promised several years ago. Now, one reason for this is right after they approved the four casinos, the governor allowed 8 or 9 racetracks to put in Rusinos. So part of the money went there. And that money doesn't come through direct taxing. That goes into the lottery fund, which is already pre-directed, so they can't play with it much. Okay? Hmm. So they have now, well, why can't we tax free play? Okay.
Now, let me just clarify, because I'm not sure I understand this. Is the proposal that they tax the players free play, or that they disallow the casino from writing that off as a marketing expense?
Both have been kicked around.
Okay.
Okay. They haven't gotten into the nitty-gritty. They just want more money. Whatever scheme works. And what's very interesting is at the same time this is going on, and we'll probably discuss this later in the show, a lot of the casinos have felt now that they've given away too much free play. The free play in some casinos, not all, has gotten out of control. And I've sat through two discussions in the last 2 days about free play getting out of control, or that it was out of control and what they've done to curb it back. So I was wondering, how much are the casinos going to fight this? Because they can use it as an excuse to say, well, the reason we're cutting our free play is your state senator has decided that we have to tax it, you know, and or we can't write it off, or whatever the case is.
Yeah, but the players aren't going to care what the reason is.
Of course, what the reason is, but it's easier to blame somebody.
Yeah, but they're not too far from Pennsylvania. They're not too far from Detroit. They have competitors out there.
Oh yeah, there is. It's a major issue, and I'm surprised it's now gotten from one state senator suggesting it to that the Ohio Gaming Commission is considering it. So we'll see how farther it goes.
All right.
But you notice we have not seen an industry outcry about it yet in Ohio. But it's not like people aren't responding to it the same way they responded to the IRS proposed change.
Hmm. Okay. Change of subject again. 20 years ago, Jeffrey put out a book called The Las Vegas Advisor Guide to Slot Clubs.
Yep.
He's now working on some sort of a sequel to that book. So today we decided to have a roundtable discussion about how slot clubs have changed over the past 20 years. And some of the things will end up in his book and some won't. So what's changed in the last 20 years in slot club?
Well, the first thing is almost every gaming establishment has some form of slot club. I don't know if the grocery stores have them or the car washes have them, but every major casino has some sort of player tracking scheme.
Well, there are Dottie's in markets and in Kmart's, and they have a Dottie's slot club.
Yeah. I mean, when I wrote the book, stations did not have a slot club. Okay. Many of the larger casinos, many of the casinos on the strip, not many, but quite a few, did not have a slot club. Downtown, the Plaza, the Las Vegas Club, the Western, the El Cortez did not have a slot club. Okay. Now, the entire, in Reno, you had several places that didn't have a slot club. And I remember writing about a town in near Utah, Wendover, that did have a slot club. And Laughlin, three of the casinos did not have a slot club. So now it's universal. People expect to find a players club. And now I'm sure you have some people who will not join for a variety of reasons, some valid, some not. But in general, it's a given.
Okay.
I remember playing at the Sands in Reno and when they first instituted their slot club. And, you know, it basically was a card that they filled out by hand with a pen. And they kept your information in a shoebox on the pit stand. And they would have to go thumb through the shoebox, you know, to find your card in there and you know, write down your play.
One of the initial clients of Compton Dancer Consulting was a chain of bars that wanted to put in some form of player tracking, player reward system, but they could not afford. One reason there's more stocks, the cost of electronic tracking has come down.
Yeah.
Okay. So more places can afford to put in some sort of system, but back then they couldn't.
Okay. So there's it's universal now. And how are they different, though?
They are the classic. I came up with the term where you used to stick in the card. It would say accepted. Did not say your name. So you have no idea if they're tracking it right. And it just sat there. And then you'd have to go to the booth to find out, to beg for a buffet. Okay? Those days are gone. I don't, what I mean is, there's at least some, not the entire club is explained, and I wouldn't recommend it, but at least some part of the club is explained via points or other information. Is some part, and because the casinos have realized that people won't join a club if they don't know what they're getting. Okay. And
well, and also it was so subjective back then, too. Like, yeah, it kept track of your play, but it wasn't sort of a there wasn't like a schedule of you're in this many points and that is worth X amount, so you know that whether you're going to be able to get a buffet.
There's another reason, and I've told casinos this for years. There are players, there are people who will get on the bus when the bus fare is a dollar. And say, I'm only going four blocks. Can I pay 50 cents?
Michael Blue Jay was on our show.
Okay. And the worst, what's the worst thing that the bus driver is going to say to the guy? No. He's no worse off than he was before. So there are a club that has a lot of hiddens appeals to people who are generally aggressive. And I would imagine if you did a study, generally aggressive players are also your better players. So you want to appeal to, I grew up in the Midwest. When I visited somebody's home, we were told not even to ask for a glass of water. Okay? So I'm not somebody who goes and ostensibly asks for stuff. But so you want, so if you want to get me, you have to tell me. You know.
Well, I don't know about that conclusion. There's a lot of players who keep asking and asking
of
and
course,
asking and
of
asking
course.
And asking.
But I'm not those. I'm talking about I want the player who doesn't ask, who appreciates. So you explain it to them what they're going to get. They don't have to sit there and beg for every little thing.
Okay. In the good old days, cashback was
a big deal.
And
at some clubs, if the club offered cash back, it was usually a big deal.
And it was strip casinos back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was 0.67%
For everything.
For everything.
For everything.
So in video poker, it was 0.67, and they had plentiful 9-6 jacks, and some casinos had better games, and they had a schedule like. At the Mirage back then, which was and is a classy joint, it was like 15,000 coin in a day got you full RFB. And you were playing 9-6 jacks with a 0.67 slot club. And RFB included tickets to, maybe that was Treasure Island with a 15,000, but it included two tickets to Mystere every time you played 15,000. And some people were kind of selling those.
I don't ever remember any cash back for table games.
No. I had that on the list. We'll discuss tables in a bit. But for slots, he's right. I can't remember the discussion. I know it was at a Casino Management Association board meeting. And I was sitting with someone who had just reduced their cash back halved it and removed their 9-6 machines and had dropped the cash on video poker by half. And he said, I have to live with the fact that Bob Dancer can take advantage of us, but I refuse to make it so simple that Jeff Compton can take advantage of us. So I said, oh, well. And so that was the, but no, there has been a generally tightening up on video poker or let's say, making it obvious moves on video poker are not there like they used to be using the slot club. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of good deals in
especially
town,
on the strip.
On the strip. And
yeah, you don't see the whether it's cashback, it's more evolved to free play.
Yes.
Where you have to play it through. Although, one of our sponsors, the South Point, you can do either. And where you can do either, somewhat over 90% of it is collected by the players as free play. It's just a lot more convenient than using the cashback. But the rates have dropped tremendously. You don't see 0.67 around anymore. You might see 0.2. And the games have tightened. You don't see as many 9-6 jacks. You see 8-5 bonus maybe, which is a third of a percent tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the slot club is significantly tighter.
So, that's just, you know, cost. Places have to make this decision to stay in business. And I think I understood the remark now more than I did, you know, I was insulted at the time. But, you know, you don't make it obvious for the middle level knowledge player to take advantage of you. You know, you can't do much from somebody who makes a study out of it. But you don't make it for everyone. So
in the same general area, more of the returns have come into mailers than
bounce back.
Bounce back is, yeah, and there's various forms of it. Bounce back would be what Jeffrey's named for a monthly mailer, but there's other cash incentives. A casino rarely back then sent out, you know, come in and play and we'll give you $2,500. And those kind of offers do go out now to the right player at the right casino.
I think that one of the sad sides of the spread of slot clubs is that a lot of marketing departments, in my opinion, went on auto hold.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it should be so much easier to keep track of your good players, and you should be able to personalize what you're giving them. But you're right. It just seems to be on auto hold. And
I think there's a little too much reliance on the club at some time. Now, I might feel differently after a year of investigating this, but in some places I don't see. One time, Bob and I were at a casino in the Midwest, and I commented that the single slot host on the floor is too busy being a buffet cop. Okay? In other words, he should be catering to his top players and let the booth issue the buffet.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think they made that change. Lately I've noticed almost, you know, that a little too much is based on the system and not looking at the person. And with your top players, you have to look at the person. What do you think?
Well, I've, for more than 20 years, I've been playing high stakes. And when you play for high stakes, you get looked at as a person. And so when you're talking about how to treat quarter players.
Wait, do you really think that you're going to get a different mailer than somebody else who puts a similar coin in? In other words, I don't think you do get looked at as a person because let's say you're playing similar to me, but I also go play craps and I also bet at the sports book and I, you know what I mean?
Is it all tracked?
They're all tracked, but okay. I may still get the exact same mailer that you get.
Most casinos do it now, as I understand it, and I might be corrected. They have on the slot floor, I'm not an expert on tables, and one of the observations I did make, by the way, is that tracking has not changed at tables much over 20 years. It's still the same. Does any of casinos give points for table play?
MGM, I guess, is just taking away their express comps for table play.
Okay.
So I think there are different type of points.
Yeah. So, I have not seen that correlation because the pit is still, you know, rather traditional. Okay.
Well, like the Caesar system, you can become seven stars by playing table games. So they're obviously issuing something.
Yes, but they're not issuing you points at the table. Well, they're issuing you comp dollars and other rewards.
Well, you need to become seven stars. You need to have so many.
Yeah, you get tier points or
you
whatever.
You need tier points? Okay.
So you earn those at the end in the Caesar system.
Okay. Can you use them for cash back?
I don't think so.
Yes, you can.
Table gameplay? Really?
Yeah. Once you get your points, depending on your level, you can redeem those points for free play. But okay. Assuming now seven stars, you can redeem them at a rate of 80%, meaning if you have $500 worth of comps, you can get $400 of free play. If you're the next lower, if down, which is diamond, it might be 50%. And if you're the next lower down, it's like, why bother? So, yeah, it can be converted into free play, which is not cash, but it's currently there's a limit of $500 a day.
I'm one of those people who never uses a card. So,
if you use one, most computer systems, including the simplest, usually has a theoretical kicked out based on the machine. Okay, a slot machine. 8 to 12% of coin in is kicked out as theoretical. Now, I'm not saying that they're rewarding 8 to 12%. I says it's reporting 8 to 12% to the computer. For video poker, 2 to 4.
Well, some casinos zero.
Zero. On some machines, but I'm saying on the majority of machines, it's about 2 to 4 on video poker and about 8 to 12. On slot machines. I'm talking about here. I haven't analyzed.
So video poker, it depends on how someone plays. But on a slot machine, do they put the real theoretical of what that machine actually...
No.
They take an average and say...
No, they take the... please remember, this theoretical for a slot over a period, the machine's going to hold a certain theoretical. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's no skill involved.
Exactly.
Okay. But the casino would have all penny slots at the same number.
At the same number.
Even though they're different.
Even though one was a 91%, one's 89%, they would both have.
Yeah. So it's reporting out a certain theoretical, and then the casino takes, depending on their club, are they more local play or are they more tourists because of hotel room charges. And that sort of thing, they take a certain percentage of that theoretical to reward back to you. Okay, a grind joint that has low hold games, it might be as low as 12-14 to a strip property, high end strip property, it might be as high as 30-40. At least that's what it was years ago. I haven't rejudged that lately. So that's how they work in regards to, and then out of that theoretical, they take out the money you would have automatically earned through slot club points, and then the rest is if you can find it. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now one thing we've brought up a few times and we should hit is the subject of bounce back, free play, that sort of issue. Of course, it was non-existent or very little existent 20 years ago. Okay, free play. The level it is now, of course.
Correct.
There were places that maybe had a free play scheme. Okay, but the idea now of, or you would get a coupon in the mail that said, come and pick up $5 cash or $10 cash, and they assumed if you came to the casino and picked up a $10 bill, you would hopefully walk it into a machine. Now it's free play. It's automatically frequently it's automatically added to your card on that day if you show up. There are various redemption schemes. Some places now pass out free play that's automatically available that day. Okay, for example, you earn 300 points and you spin the wheel on the machine on the computer device, and it gives you between $3 and $25 of free play that you can use right then and there. Okay? So because of that, so within the last one of the sad commentaries on some management is they assumed, which players would love this, but managers have now figured out that to the casino, free play isn't free. Okay? There's a cost. It lowers your hold because you have less coin in going in and you still have the same coin in going out. So, so there a lot of places are taking very serious looks at the amount of free play they have, or we've noticed in one casino I've been observing, I'm not going to say whom, okay, but I've been observing, I don't talk to their management. We've noticed in a study that a friend of mine has done that if the person takes the money in comp dollars, they get a better deal than if they take it in free play.
I thought they were all that way.
No. Some places had no problem with free. They assumed that free play was going into the machine, and they were keeping it, and no questions asked. Okay? And it would inspire you to reach into your wallet and take another $30 out and stick it in the machine. And well, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Some of the places... when I said I don't use a card, I was talking about table games, but I do play a little video poker and use a card. But some of the places, if you...
I know a good guy to teach you it.
Yeah. They give you, basically, if you use the comp dollars, they give you a discount at the restaurant or whatever. So your comp dollars are worth more.
Worth more. But when free play first came out, it was almost sacrosanct that we want them to use the free play. Now I see, and now I see some places, and please remember, it's very dangerous, and Bob is one of the big people that tell me this all the time. You don't generalize players, you don't generalize types of players, you don't generalize casinos, okay?
Well, but, let's make another generalization that's happened. Says, 20 years ago, the slot clubs that were there were largely standalone slot clubs. Now... Stations has 15 casinos in there. You know, Caesars has 50. MGM has 12. I don't know, some such. And so that's this mega club is a phenomenon that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. It was just starting with Harrah's 20 years ago. And then when Stations came on, they were the first ones to offer where when Harrah's first came on, it used to you had no idea on transfers of benefits. Okay, what I mean is the thing here, we used to make a joke that we're all driving to Reno and we have a pool in whoever estimates their comp dollars the closest when they stick it in the machine wins. Okay, and so now. And then Stations with the boarding pass was the first one where the points I earn at this place is the same as I earn – the points I earn at Boulder Station are the same I can spend at Sunset Station. Okay.
No but question. The policies are different.
The policies are
at two different station properties?
Oh, yeah. Different station – every casino has its own GM.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of the same. But everyone is run a little bit differently. And
where is the decision to no mail someone made? At what level does that is that at the casino level or does it go higher than that?
Well, that's a case by case basis. Certainly, somebody at a casino level could make an argument that this person should be no mailed, and that. Can carry a lot of weight.
For the purposes of your viewers, 90% already know, but for the 10% who don't know, what do you mean by no mail?
Are you one of the 90 or one of the 10? The mailers are a big part of your...
I've never been put on a no mail. I never will be.
I don't think that's something to brag about. The your mailers are a big part of your rewards. And so... one casino might send a player $50 a week, and the player plays enough so that his theoretical loss, say, is $20 a week, well, a player thinks that's a pretty good deal. If he gets no mail, meaning no more $50 a week mailers, then and he can't really play without losing, it's like he's not going to play there anymore. So they're not 86ing them. They're still allowed to come in and play, but a key part of their benefits has gone away. So the games are tighter, much tighter than they were 20 years ago. And so to make it, you need to add up the cashback free play and the mailers and the other promotions. And no mailing you will be enough.
And usually with no mail comes probably other restrictions on other, I'm trying to think of the word, not benefits that are stated on the brochure, but extra benefits. They probably have put limits on those too.
Yeah.
And
so you consult for casinos. So basically, are they going to answer all your questions about how this all works? I mean,
I work with somebody who does extensive studies on casinos as an outsider. And what he does is he hires people to, you will go in on Tuesday, you will play that machine, and you will put 800, you will earn 800 points. Okay, and we will judge what you get from, and you usually try to get people who have no history with that casino. Okay, and so we have, he's been doing this for years, and we're accessing that material to find out, not so much, one thing about casinos now is slot, a change that is casinos change more than they used to. Slot clubs change more than they used to. Didn't you tell me or somebody tell me that on the high machine, the low hold or hold video poker machines at stations, they've changed the point formula?
Well, now all, if you want to play the 100% games at station, it takes $12 to earn a point. Last year, some were that way, and they all were supposed to be that way, but there were lots of exceptions that the good players found. And at Palms, they don't issue points at all if you play the 100% games. So 20 years ago, there were 3,000 or 4,000 100% games in Las Vegas earning the normal slot club benefits for whatever that casino was. Now it exists. There's a few hundred, and you're greatly penalized if you play them. If the restrictions on the points don't do it, then you'll be no-mailed, or sometimes it's no multipliers at all. So it is, there are full-pay deuces. You can make your $6 an hour, and if you're comfortable with that, knock yourself out.
We were talking about the mega clubs.
Okay.
And one thing I'm going to take a serious look at is the independent, standalone clubs, okay? The clubs that are not owned by, especially a club that is maybe part of a larger network, but is the only representative of that network in Las Vegas, okay? And but also completely standalone clubs or clubs that only cover two casinos. Okay, Four Queens and the old Binions, for example. And it's just to see, because usually the most creative ideas come out of there. One of the problems with the mega clubs is that it took away really well thought out local marketing. Some of the best promotions I read about are done by Indian casinos or standalone independent casinos based on their audience and their particular situation.
And those are also the most profitable for our listeners to. We appreciate those too.
We appreciate those.
A lot of the marketing managers are more right brain than left brain, and the players are more left brain than right brain. And being mathematically challenged has never been a deterrent from getting a job in a marketing department.
Yeah.
There are many reasons you should pick out a casino. Pick out your favorite casinos. I haven't totally decided this, but you know, we're trying to tell people that here's what you here's the amount of knowledge you need when you just walk into a place. But you should, like most people, in my opinion, find two or three casinos that really work for you. Okay, now. If you're an advantage player and you pick the casino, which changes every month based on the promotion and the listen to that, but aside from that group.
Those are called listeners to our radio.
Okay. But there's, at your whatever your casino should be, favorite casino is, based on location is one item that I think is underplayed. I was discussing with someone why they don't get a particular market locally. And I says, and why the other casino gets more of that market. And I says, you realize that everybody in that market has to drive past that casino. They have to make a decision that they're going to you, not them. Okay? I think location has a lot to do with it. On what people play.
I'll tell you another thing that has a lot to do with it.
What?
How smoky it is.
I think that's true.
I
know it's true.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, my wife, she doesn't really play, but she likes to go out and eat and things like that. And, you know, the ones that are really bad, she doesn't want to go there.
Oh, that has become a very serious issue with many players or many player spouses about smoking casinos. The other thing is the games, of course. Okay, then once you've then the slot club, and how does that figure in with the math of the games? Very seldom, though, is the slot club the determinant. The games are more important than the slot club. And what I mean is, unless things have changed, very seldom have I ever seen a slot club so generous that it overcomes crummy schedules.
That would be incorrect.
Yeah.
That would be incorrect.
At Casino X.
It depends on. There have been casinos where they, we'll say, have a 1.5% house edge. So we'll call it 9-5 jacks. So this is way too tight to play seriously. But the theoretical on the machine is set for 4 or 5%, and they base the comps on that. And so we'll go in and play the game with 1.5%. Now, whether you call that slot club or
that's
the miscalculation of theoretical.
Miscalculation
of theoretical. But there are a lot of times where we'll play lesser machines because of other things that are benefit.
True. But for the person walking in, very seldom does a slot club be so generous, especially with the stated rewards, that it makes up for a really questionable type game.
I don't know.
I also think for the audience of your book, I think the restaurants are important as well.
The restaurants are important.
Let's compare South Point and M, which are a couple miles apart. South Point has much, much looser games.
Yes.
And its restaurants are okay. Michael's is superb. The other restaurants are okay. M has much, much, much tighter game, but bigger mailers, better restaurants. 10 times a month, they give bottles of wine or other nice
crock
gifts.
Pots.
Something. Nice gifts away. And so it's a totally, it's basically, one is a loose casino where the better gambling, the other is worse gambling, but much better amenities, which is part of the slot club. And they both seem to thrive.
Yeah, but neither of them are a place where the best game is 8-5 jacks. Okay.
True.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is there's a difference. First, South Point, does an exceptional job with loose video poker.
Yes.
And does a truly exceptional job. And that's one thing I admire about the place and the entire way they've handled it, which is much different than a lot of other casinos.
That's true.
Okay. On the other hand, M is not tight to the point of being ridiculous. Okay, it's not you're not looking at car wash schedules. Okay,
that's true.
You're looking at tighter schedules. Okay, and but what I'm saying is that the clubs, how do I put this? In general, a slot club will not make up for a super tight for a ridiculously tight casino. Okay. In other words, I would learn the game. I would pick my casino by the games first, and the slot club second. Okay. I would not. It should be at best a joint decision, incorporating all factors. But if you're exploring casinos, I prefer that you have a game that you like better and rewards you better than in the long run than a game that doesn't reward you and you're spending the extra or whatever on the nicer restaurants.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break right now. We did cut you off. Can it wait till after the break or did you need to speak up now?
No, go ahead.
All right. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. Every Sunday through Wednesday in January, total of 17 dates, you earn a free spin for every $2,000 coin in on video poker or $500 coin in on slots, limit of 4 per day. The return has been about 0.5%. So for the $8,000 max, you're getting about $40. For that $8,000, some of it's in free play, some of it is in slot club. It's a nice promotion given they have 10,000 games returning more than 99%. Anyway, this is a nice benefit. In addition, I got an email today that if they have your email address, you got offered come in and play on the weekends, Friday through Sunday in January, and play so much, and you get so much back. Depending on your mailer, if you get a small mailer, it might be play 100 points and get a $10 free play. If you get a bigger mailer, it would be play $750 coin in and get a $150. You can do it on Sunday where they have this spin already going on. Double points, Monday, January 18th, Martin Luther King Day. And that's also one of the days where you can spin the wheel for your first $8,000 coin in. At the Palms, you earn tickets Friday and Saturday night drawings, 7:15. These prices add up to $6,250 a night, and you must be present to win. This is a change for the last 6 months. For the last 6 months at the Palms, you did not need to be present to win. Now you do, and it's two nights a week instead of just one. PFP, play for prizes. From now through Friday, January 15th, you're earning Chevron gas cards. From January 18th to 29th, you earn Costco gift cards. Cards are redeemed at a rate of 0.20%, up to $190 per day. You keep the points. 2 days in January, Wednesday, January 6th, and Wednesday, January 20th, you swipe to get a random multiplier. You may earn up to 40,000 bonus points per each of these days. That's $100 of free play for 40,000 bonus points. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month, or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. It's a good place to practice Quick Quads, which is the game I'm playing 4 days a week at the South Point for their Spin the Wheel promotion. The game of the week this week is 10-play Dream Card. Dream Card is a 10-coin per line game. Periodically, on the fifth card of the deal, you get a Dream Card, which substitutes for the best available card among the 48 remaining cards in the deck. The presence of those dream cards increases the frequency of all paying hands, but four of a kinds and royals pay the most, so those are the ones we pay most attention to. Jacks are better, where four of a kinds only get 125 coins. You get a lot of dream cards. Triple double bonus, where quads pay at least $250, but sometimes $400, $800, $2,000, or even $4,000, you don't get so many dream cards. The dream card adds a little bit. Not a lot, but it's better to play, EV-wise, it's better to play with the dream card than without it. There are no changes in strategy to take advantage of it. All right, so we're talking with Jeffrey Compton.
You brought up a point during your ad that about the dream card.
Okay.
I was in a discussion earlier today about a slot machine thing, a type of slot machine that awards free play. Okay, and not free play, free spins, but free play that you can take out and go to a machine. And I think we're seeing more and more rewards come directly from the machine, and as opposed to the slot club, you can also get free play through various schemes or other bonus schemes. The increase in bonusing is leading to almost that it's figuring into the reward system. And so I think that's a change. Another change we're seeing is with the sophistication of computers and the sophistication of slot machines and all that, we're seeing more and more places coming up with rather interesting options. Of course, one thing is I would guess that the options are much more governed by math. That they know what they're doing, but you never know.
All right, you got about 1 minute for this, Jeffrey. Average daily theoretical. Years ago, it was how much coin in you had over the month. Now it's how much you have per day or per trip. So that has changed. That's a significant change in the last 20 years.
Also, not basing it on just one of those figures, but basing it on two or three of those figures. You run the spreadsheet based on this, and then you resort based on that. So you have a lot more where several figures are becoming important, not just one figure.
Huh.
All right. And one last point. Slot clubs are a lot less transparent than they used to be. It used to be a lot easier to figure them out. Now it's much tougher. They change month to month. Regularly now, so hopefully Jeffrey isn't going to list the exact benefits at this casino, because if he did, by the time it was published, it would be obsolete.
I agree with the changes. On the openness, I would say that they're much less open than they were 10 years ago, but I don't know about 20, like I say, 20 years ago, where you had almost no, you had slot clubs that told you nothing.
Because they didn't know. Anyway, we welcome your questions. Send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or post them at facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge. Or you can tweet them at me at RWM21, and I'll ask them on the show. So you can get the show delivered to you automatically at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or my site, richardmunchkin.com. You can find all the old shows at bobdancer.com.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Views and opinions expressed on this program were those of the hosts and guests and did not necessarily reflect those of Vegas All Net Radio, its affiliates, or its parent company.